Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, welcome, 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 woke bros. We're here, we're back. I'm Michael Brooks, along with Wazni Lambre, Big Waz, Nando Vila. We're here, of course, super extra producer, the mastermind Rob Lopez, steering the ship, the silence behind the throne. I think that's how we're, whatever, there's something behind the throne.
There's always a Dominican behind the throne.
There's always.
Rob's Puerto Rican, so.
Oh, whatever.
He's even more devious.
That's crazy. Don't cancel me. Don't cancel me.
Don't cancel me.
That was so Nando to say, you are the same.
I mean, you're all just Caribbean.
You don't know?
Yeah.
All right. So we got a lot to get to, as always. Of course, if you're for whatever reason, hearing this for the first time on iTunes, hit the subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching this. And we'll talk about all the other ways that you can follow up with Count the Dings, TMBS, The Athletic. We'll do that later. But first, we're going to get started. All right, guys. Obviously, there's protests happening across the country. There is some looting, which is happening a variety of different ways. There is mass, wild police violence all over the place. The president kind of semi-tried to declare martial law, had to have a bunch of demonstrators gassed because people found out what a pussy he was being in a bunker. And Tom Cotton, who is an important figure in the Republican hard right in the Senate, has written a column just before we got to air here in the New York Times, basically advocating that the Insurrection Act be invoked, the military be deployed. And it is, I mean, it's just a perfect, like, he knows exactly the buttons to hit. Yep. And exactly how to make this argument. And so that's why, obviously, it's so disturbing. We're going to get to a lot out of it, but just, you know, we've all just read it, first passes, guys, and just the idea that on the same day that the defense secretary actually pulled back a little bit, said, I don't think this actually needs to be invoked right now, that this senator has gotten real estate in the New York Times to suggest this incredible escalation.
You know, and I want to thank you, Michael, for being the Tom Cotton of the left, first of all. That's, I just want to thank you for that. I just think, you know, he's one to watch, obviously. I think if you're looking down the road after Trump, I think Tom Cotton is one of the main Republicans trying to position himself as the standard bearer and the torch grabber in the Republican Party, right? He's already shorn up his neocon, hawkish bona fides by, you know, he's been this hawkish person pretty much since he got elected to be a senator. So this whole, oh, send the troops in, literally the headline of the article is sending the troops on American citizens who are just basically protesting. That's right in line and on brand with him. And you've seen in the recent years, Mike and Nando, he's throwing these little feelers. Remember, he was one of the first people to say, we need a stimulus for the people. He's trying to do this weird triangulation, which you always have to do when you're a Republican, of the Pentagon, of the money class, and, you know, your most fervent supporters in the base, right? Who don't happen to be really rich, really whatever people, but you know, you got to shore them up somehow. And he's trying to figure out a way not to do the sort of, he's trying to do a respectable Donald Trump impression, because Donald Trump is just the Republican Party and their base politics just in the White House. He's trying to do a more polished, a more respectable, a more, you know, elite-friendly version of exactly what it is Donald Trump stands for. So the first thing he does is, and anybody who knows this, New York City on the right is a dog whistle. The word New York City, whenever they're saying New York, it's a dog whistle to their supporters of, like, you know, these feckless blue hippie idiots over there in that nasty cesspool of a city in New York, right? And so that's why immediately he's attacking New York as the quote unquote worst of the riots. He's talking about the Democratic mayor, the Democratic governor. They're quote unquote standing by and doing nothing. Like, he shrewdly knows what he's doing. Right. And then, of course, he goes to the next thing, which is speak to sympathy for police officers. He knows he can get an audience of sympathy for police officers. This person got shot at. This person got this. This person, one person might have got ran over. And he continues and he goes on and he goes on. And of course, he lies and says that the cops are outnumbered by rioters. The cops are outnumbered by protesters. And again, I don't want to get into the semantics of riot and protesters and whatever, because that's not for this show to do. But like the idea that the number of people who are going out and trying to steal Nike Roches from Foot Action outnumber the police in New York City is just patently ridiculous. And it's just a lie. It's just a lie. It's just a way to rile people up and to shore up his credibility as one of the most hawkish people in American government. And that's all it is.
Yeah, I agree that Tom Cotton is definitely one to watch out for. The only thing that I'm not that worried about him is that he's got kind of like that goofy guy face. Like, he looks just like Kendall Roy in Succession, you know, like, and he's just got a kind of like a dumb guy face, which makes me think that he can't be the president. Yeah.
Scurvy. What is it called? Scurvy, skeevy. He looks like he's got some type of like vitamin C deficiency disease or something.
Yeah. He looks just like Kendall Roy in Succession to me. I mean, but
I can see that.
But he's clever. Like, he knows how to do all the arguments. Like, he does, you know, he frames the protest as some sort of like elite project, which is obviously ridiculous, but I mean, it appeals to some sort of populist-y sentiment. You know, he thinks he's framing it as some sort of like radical chic elite sensibility or something.
Like, it's their way of slumming it from their couches. Like, exactly. Oh my God, look at this. Isn't this so cool?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I mean, I find it kind of shocking that the New York Times feels the need to like publish this in the first place, but you know, just outright calling for military divisions, like on Twitter, he was like, we have the 101st Airborne Division, we have the 82nd Airborne Division, we have the 110th Cavalry Division or whatever. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, like, he thinks that this is like, he's like cosplaying as like General Patton, you know, like moving like little pieces on the board on the map. Like, oh, there's rioters on 51st Street. We need to send in the 101st Airborne here and we're going to outflank them and do a pincer movement with the 110th. Like, he's just... But it appeals to a certain kind of person. And, you know, it goes back to this thing about rioters and law and order politics and all that shit. And this is why I feel frustrated when I see people like, well, obviously we got to condemn the rioters and it's whatever. Nonsense. Like, I mean, you're what you're doing is you're flattening and you're equating the state-sponsored violence that is plain for us to see. Like, anyone who is just watching this unfold is seeing an absolutely heinous, over-the-top escalation by the part of law enforcement everywhere. And if you keep the focus on that, that's inconvenient. So we got to distract and focus on the rioters, which is just it's like rioting is a thing that's happened all over, you know, throughout human history, forever, all over the place. It's a natural reaction to long-term oppression of people. Like, it's just going to happen eventually. You know what I mean? But like, what we can focus on is the roots of that. And the most immediate of those roots is this insane violent reaction from law enforcement, people who should know better, people who should in theory be trained to deal with this kind of thing in an orderly fashion. Instead, we're seeing these frankly like terrifying people going in, deliberately instigating violence, deliberately escalating the situation, using all kinds of heinous, like tear gas, rubber bullets. Just it's plain for everyone to see. And the sort of to change the focus onto the rioting is just flattening and obfuscating that obvious fact.
And another thing, and I know Mike is going to speak to this, about this concept of quote unquote revolution, of tamping down some insurrection, when the people who hoard all the actual guns in this country are Republican. And so the concept that Republicans are going to overthrow their king and overlord and cult leader when they're the ones with the guns is ridiculous, right? Like, the people who have the guns are your base supporters. Like, the people who could actually inflict actual bad harm onto people are Republican supporters. And furthermore, when they do hit the streets in intimidating fashion with actual rocket launchers and big ass machine guns and bazookas, the cops go, hey, can I just hold your hand and help you? Are you? How long do you guys think you're going to be? Do you need extra time to stay? Okay, cool. No problem. All right. Just let me know when you're done, okay? Okay, take over this government building. It's yours. Don't worry. It's cool. No fucking engagement. I ain't hear shit about military coming in and all of this nonsense. It's so cynical and ridiculous. It's nakedly just a farce, bro. Like, I don't know who Tom Cotton thinks he's fooling here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you guys just said completely. I think that in addition to that, there's a really if you want to start from some like principles that he evokes in the piece and some like real broad ones that I can agree with, which is like, yeah, you know what? No innocent person should be attacked anywhere. So like, this grandfather that was killed in front of the pawn shop, that's fucking horrible. Now, I'm not going to allow, and I don't think any of us are going to allow, you know, Donald Trump to use that for his game of trying to terrorize his own citizens. And if we're taking as the principle that no, you know, innocent person should be physically assaulted, then over 98% of our attention has to be on the police, just even numerically. And of course, as Nando said, the most important thing is the actual power and political disparity. When police riot, that means something innately different. Also, as far as this rioting narrative goes too, I mean, look, especially as like there's more shit that is like, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to like get a, you know, pair of sneakers or whatever, right? Like I think definitely in the beginning, some of that stuff like at Target was highly politicized, right? Now it's like, okay, sure. And there are so many reports in multiple cities and video of, in the most extreme cases, cops actually doing this themselves.
Yeah.
You can see footage of them breaking windows, of things like that. And you can also see many reports of... And exactly, this is like the incredible dishonesty. Yes, you might be overwhelmed by people marching, engaging in civil disobedience. You're absolutely not overwhelmed by people throwing a fucking rock at Nordstrom's. And there are a lot of cases that have been emerging of essentially like, all right, let's let a little bit of this happen. Let's have some vandalism. Let's have some looting. And then we're going to use that as the charge.
As cover, yeah.
To assault, beat the shit out of, mow down protesters, period. So, yeah, I mean, and I think it's very wise for him to like get into like the whole, like he puts like the Tom Wolfe radical chic essay. I mean, everybody has a problem with like, you know, dumb rich kids who want to do like chic radicalism. Like, yeah, they're really fucking annoying.
Yep.
What it reminds me of is like, in this really twisted way, like so much of our politics at the elite level, it's like, look, Tom Cotton is absolutely a sociopath and he absolutely wants to bring what he did in Iraq to poor in communities of color, the United States, without question. But he's also settling an argument with some kid he didn't like or wouldn't party with him at Harvard.
Yep.
And it is so pathetic the extent to which really serious shit that implicates the entire country really does come down, especially in the context of capitalism and a completely failed, discredited leadership class, of just like dumb shit arguments like that. Because I'm sure Tom Cotton can probably think of people specifically that he knows. And there probably are peers of Tom Cotton who, you know, went to Harvard Law and work at Goldman Sachs now who are like, you know, we need a Haitian revolution. it's all just embarrassing and ridiculous.
That brings me up to that. There's that with something like this, you know, you're seeing, I've noticed a vast outpour of what I find to be genuine concern and a desire to do something I've gotten so many people ask me, like, what can I do? Like, what do I do? And there is obviously going to be some people posting cringe on the TL and like clout chasing by like, you know, being like, oh, hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Did you see the shit where the white people renounced their privilege?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I mean,
it's getting to like Jim Jones.
Well, that's what I'm getting to is like, you know, there was the whole confusion around whether you're supposed to post the black square and then whether you're not supposed to post the black square. And then there's people like, you know, saying like, here's a list of black owned businesses that you can support right now and all that stuff. And like, you know, I, as much as I'm like inclined to like make fun of that shit, I'm also seeing like, I also want to be kind of sympathetic and open to the fact that people want to do something. People genuinely were horrified by what's going on. People genuinely were horrified by the George Floyd murder. People were genuinely horrified by the reaction of the police, and no one knows what to do about it because there is no kind of set mechanism with which they can plug into and exercise their power. I mean, we've had that kind of beaten out of us. And then the only thing we have left is to do this kind of thing. So I want to, you know, like I want to try to be sympathetic to them because they do genuinely want to do something good and they don't know what to do. And I mean, there is nothing really in the immediate term that's going to like, you know, institute radical change immediately. But we do have to sort of try to figure out how we deal with that, how we harness that genuine energy that there clearly is to some sort of productive gain. And I don't have the answer, obviously, like it's not like something that I do, but it is something just worth thinking about.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think like, obviously the, you know, getting back to the stuff we talked about last week, like a whole, you know, serious policy set about how to change policing, how to radically cut funding for policing departments, all of this stuff, as well as, you know, obviously in our views, connecting it with capitalism and production and how we're actually, you know, the whole design of the economy, for sure. And there's a ton of, you know, embarrassing kind of like, you know, performative nonsense. And at the same time, like, you know, this is happening and it's real and it implicates, you know, just as we saw in this, I mean, and there's so many like this, but we saw this murder, like George Floyd got murdered in this just could not be more brutal, grotesque way. And so like, this is what's happening. And so it's like that balance, I think. And actually, Matt Chrisman made a really good point on TMBS that we were talking about this and just like our experiences of like going to the protests in Brooklyn and all the rest. And it was kind of like, you can't, like, you need to take the action in order to have the ability to actually think through what the next best steps are. Right. Like, you can't, like, this whole, like,
it's not going to be fully formed as a plan before people get mad and hit the streets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's funny because then that kind of actually becomes, like, we don't want to fall into, like, Elizabeth Warren bullshit. Like, you know, we got plans. Like, no, like, you know, and also that not only is not going to be fully formed, but you're not going to have, like, the capacity to think through what might be next move productive without actually being in action. Right. Yeah. And I think that's really, really wise at the same time. I mean, you know, I think, we'll get into like more of the political ramifications, but honestly, like on a just really basic level, like I know we'll talk about Cornel West later too, but it's just like, he just said like a week ago, he was like, thank God people are outside. Like, thank God we're not so totally numb.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And that's always the next step though, right? Like the idea that somebody's just going to come, because that's a liberal conceit that the right idea could just whip people into a frenzy. Like, people's minds just need to be stimulated by the most, like, well-thought-out plan and idea with, you know, a step A through Z just perfectly mapped out. And people are like, it's going to give people a jolt. It is just like, bro, stop. Okay. We get it. We need to turn this into something. And that something needs to be figured out and processed through this collective energy. And, you know, you're going to see people in the coming days, because that's always the next step is, all right, are you guys just going to stand outside and yell for the next 10 years? What do you guys want? What do you want? You're going to hear that very, 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 very soon down the pike.
Well, there's also this, like, I mean, this is also like a very liberal thing in which there's like, you have to like jump through hoops and thread the needle to like perfectly protest in a certain way, you know, that like, and it's like, on the one hand, it's this thing, but on the other hand, it's that thing. Like, you need to stay, you need to take a step back and listen and learn. And you also need to like step up and do this kind of thing. So it like confuses people, you know, like, I think all that shit, we just got to get past. Like, we got to get past all that online bullshit and just see, like, what's in front of us. Like, in front of us is that there's people on the streets and, like, they're being challenged in a violent way by the state apparatus. Like, fuck all the other shit about, like, you know, if you're not amplifying these voices or taking a backseat and listen to those voices, and then these voices are doing that, and it's like people are just confused, and like that's part of the way these kind of things get exhausted and break down.
And you, that's the antithesis, exact, no, 100%. And that's like that whole, and that is like the online, that's wokeness, that's it's completely disconnected from the real world. It has nothing to do with human complexity and all the things that we criticize it on in terms of people's like moral growth and change and not being like a uptight, like, you know, control freak. But it also directly intervenes with the capacity to actually just take this kind of large scale action. You know, there was that clip, and this woman, actually, it was funny, she got shouted down by everybody, but this white woman out of nowhere, she just starts like basically like trying to segregate a certain protest. She's like, we're not going to go with them there. And then, of course, she goes, this isn't our hood, you know, and she thinks she's being. you know, I think one white person, a couple of black people are just like, no, like, don't, like. You know, like, of course, like, just don't bring that shit. Like, and you know what's great too is that if you don't think of life as just being like a linear roadmap, of course there's going to be other instances where, of course, they're going to be like, you know what, you should probably shut the fuck up, because you shouldn't be like trying to dictate this march or whatever else. Like, it's all true simultaneously, but you can't. Yeah, you can't have that mindset of waiting for perfection for an action. And yeah, I think that's really clear, especially again now, because now it's like, even if you wanted to just be like, this isn't right, this isn't how we should do it, and there's too many stupid slogans and there's too much fantasy and, you know, and all this stuff, whatever. It's happened. It's out. The issues are really important in terms of violence, in terms of racism, in terms of killings and everything else. And guess what? The state apparatus is here now. So like, what's the play now? Right. Like, it's out. A fucking senator is writing this shit in the New York Times. Trump isn't real. Like, you know, he's always got that how far it can go. And basically he wants to like tweet while the states take care of it. But D.C. is under some form of martial law. Like, it's, you know, so what's the response? Like,
the LAPD is just openly saying $100 for a N-word. $50 for a Mexican, you know, like on the police skater, like shoot to kill. $100 for, you know, like. What, okay, like, yeah, fuck with the liberal bullshit. Stop it. You know, like, just get out there and, you know, like, be normal. I don't know how to explain it. The only thing we have, the only strength we have is our numbers. Literally, they have literally everything else. But, you know, okay, they have all the power. They have the media. They have everything else.
So, Mike, you mentioned the sort of political side of this. Tom Cotton, again, this guy's, for the viewers and listeners, this guy is trying to position himself to be the torchbearer. He's been laying the groundwork for. I want to be the next leader of the Republican Party. He's sort of put his stake in the ground. Barack Obama, as we record this right now, is doing his sort of State of the Union address America's Zaddy is doing that as we speak.
We're doing we're gonna do a podcast.
What happened to Joe Biden's podcast, by the way?
So we're gonna do a podcast. It's gonna follow two stories. So Jerome's brother was murdered by this police officer. This police officer is acquitted. I brought them together. They're going to do a narrative podcast together.
And so Barry's taking his turn. The freaking
Joe Biden still does his podcast, by the way.
Oh, that's still happening.
Hey, you're a Patreon.
Wait, yeah, hold on. It's behind a paywall.
No.
Oh, I was about to say what?
Joe Biden Patreon.
Oh my!
We're going to do the reading series, Jack. That's behind a paywall.
Listen, Jack, if you want extra content,
what I really thought
on Thursdays when we really do the uncensored shit.
Questions, but that's behind the paywall.
Oh God!
I'm going to do an Ask Me Anything, Jack. You can ask me literally anything. My favorite text position behind the paywall.
The
next
freaking
time Charlamagne wants to harass me about the crime bill, you should become a patron.
the freaking the Democratic Party leadership, man. I don't know that the leadership of this freaking party has ever been in worse shape. It's literally hard to imagine a time with two worse leaders than the fool that we have in the Senate, and Chuck Schumer's just done. He's lost the plot. Like, it's a he's damn near Biden level. No lie. Like, he is so. I was telling somebody yesterday that going from Harry Reid to Chuck Schumer would have been like the Patriots replacing Tom Brady with Mark Sanchez. Like, yeah. What is happening out here? Really, and then, you know, of course, there's Pelosi who's like reading Bibles, and she's a mess.
Politics. That's politics for the Democrats, is like clapping back at Trump, you know, like
she's
doing
a
this stupid
mess.
Thing.
And so we know that we're not going to get anything of any substance from those people because the leadership is in disarray, and there's no other way to put it. And Trump, man, he doesn't really know what exactly to do. Like his shtick doesn't really apply to this because it's like, no, this is like a real problem. This isn't like, oh, the Dems and their fake investigation of me and blah, blah, blah. It's like, nah, like this kind of semi-combat on the streets happening right now. I don't know how to deal with real life issues. I just know how to talk. So it's like, politically, it's weird.
What's a better metaphor? Right, what's a better metaphor than, like, you know, watching all this, like, out of control police, Trump, like, obviously encouraging all of them, and then Joe Biden saying, like, hey, why don't we just tell him to shoot him in the leg, Jack? You know? Like, that's the political realm that we have. It's like, just like, you know, troops on the street, or
shoot him in the leg, Jack.
Yeah.
But I think that, but Trump, I don't know. I mean, he also just he felt emasculated because he was in the bunker. And those calls to the governors where he's talking about dominating the state. Uh-huh. They're absolutely insane. They are authoritarian. And yeah,
they're
also,
like, but they're weird too. Like,
they're
it's just
like a guy calling into Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah,
like,
the Jets
gotta get the defense.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, come on, I've been calling about it for years, Mike.
Yeah. the offensive line. Exactly. Football games are won in the trenches. I've always said that.
Seriously.
Fuck these skill position guys. We need fundamentals to win the game. Yeah. Smash mouth football in the trenches. That wins football
games.
The last
time these guys thought about fundamentals was sophomore year in high school.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Offense wins the girls, but defense wins championships. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. But I think on the whole, though, this doesn't look good for the homie. Obviously
law and order stuff always favors the right. Like, this kind of thing usually, like, that's the conventional wisdom. But I don't know. I, you know, the economic collapse at the same time. I mean, I think this is like the thing that we're not really kind of talking about. And like, I think, Mike, you know, like, we look at history all the time and you look at the conditions and it's like, all it needed was like one little spark for something like this to happen. I mean, 40 million people unemployed, like maybe the greatest economic crisis in the history of capitalism. I mean, we've been talking about it since the beginning of COVID, right? that's the X factor here that scrambles everything. It scrambles everything. There is no playbook to what is happening right now.
And that's the relative, just it feels like and looks like the country is in disarray under your stewardship. That's just the optics look bad for you. And that's what he understands more intrinsically than everything else. He understands optics. Like, hey, the economy's going great. You know, my economy is going great. He knows the things, whatever looks good, he can take ownership. And that therefore, whatever looks bad, he knows he feels a need intrinsically to distance himself from it. Just instinctively, he's like, no. This isn't me. This is bad. I can't have this on my hands. And I think that's what you're seeing right now, just sort of a scramble on the part of Trump's, you know, administration, such that there is even a, you know, some kind of fucking company operating over there.
You imagine if we remade Air Force One with Trump, and of course he gets off of the plane, like he doesn't stay behind like Ford, but all he does the whole time is he's just like, you have to tell them that I'm still on the plane and I'm killing the Chechens. Melania is giving me a blowjob and I'm rescuing everybody. That needs to be the story for the press. Yep. I mean, I honestly think that this all strongly favors Biden.
Yeah,
because I think a very unique thing about America in some ways. I mean, obviously America has immense, like America, like there's this Republican base that exists. They want to be out there with baseball bats, semi-autos. Like there's an incredible violence in this country and there's a real intensity to it. No question. But at the same time, to the extent like I've spent a while now, you know, like trying to debunk the idea that you know, people like Joe Scarborough or Thomas Friedman put forward that like, oh, you know, most Americans like they, you know, they're like OK with gay people and they want to give rich people tax cuts. Like that's where most of them are at. And obviously that's
not true.
Obviously, that's not true. That's complete bullshit. But the thing that has been coming like. It not politically, but a lot of Americans still really do. They are like the hunt for normal.
Yeah.
Like stability. Wherever normal. And that's why you see in these really contradictory polls, like, well, maybe we want the military to come out. But at the same time, people should be protesting like that. And it does not track with, you know, things like any of us in this conversation want, like, no, we actually need to solve real problems here, sorry to say. But it also doesn't track with, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world. And even if you go and look back at, like, who he's modeling himself after to some extent, which is, like, Richard Nixon ran in 68, but he wasn't president yet.
Exactly. So that was the point I was going to make.
Yeah.
That's why that analogy falls apart in the first 5 seconds.
Exactly.
So dumb.
Wasn't the president. He wasn't presiding over the chaos. And in addition to that, just real quick, Nixon actually was very good, and this is in 1968, about presenting his idea of a silent majority as actually multiracial. Like, obviously it was filled with dog whistles. Obviously it was consolidating the South. But he always said, there's hardworking Mexican Americans. There's hardworking Black Americans. There's hardworking blah, blah, blah. And they want to go to work and they want to go to school. And the thing of it is that's so fucked up is, like, that's real. Like, that's true to the point of, like, even in the most terrorized communities in America that we're seeing amplified right now, that if you just were like, hey, you know, if you could just like get some green grocers in here and stop having cops like fucking murder teenagers on the corner, that would be cool. And maybe like we could, you know, watch NFL. Like everybody else wants in this fucking country. So Biden is real poised, is what I'll say. If we're talking on those terms,
like
I think Joe Biden's the next president of the United States.
People, even people who like would normally vote Republican and all that stuff, like people know, I mean, everyone knows that Donald Trump whether you like him or you hate him, is a destabilizing force,
yep.
right? Like, no one sees him as, like, a steady hand or anything like that.
Everyone knows.
They don't
feel like they can forget about what's happening. They have exactly. to think about it. And nobody wants to. Nobody wants to think about this shit. They don't. And they like, want to go about their lives, watch football, barbecue, and not have to think about the inner workings, yeah. the machinations of the government, and... You got to think about what's going on right now. Like, yeah. you just I mean, have to.
I mean, that's why, like, I mean, again, I go back to Russia. Like, the 1990s in Russia were, like, an incredibly chaotic time. And Putin, when he came in 2000, basically stabilized shit. Like, I mean, he's awful and bad in every single way. But, like, he basically brought back a degree of normalcy to the average Russian person, which is why he's still relatively popular today. You know, because he ended the chaos. People hate chaos. Everyone hates chaos. No one likes to feel like they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or you wake up one day and you don't know what the hell's going to happen that day. Most people crave some sense of order and normalcy. And that's why I think you're right that Biden, by basically staying on the sidelines and letting this all happen, not sort of, you know, it's probably a shrewd political maneuver not to be like out there, out front, you know, like standing with the protesters and being like, you know, I stand with these people against these violent police.
Though. Did you see? I mean, he actually, Biden did go to a protest in Wilmington and he took a knee.
And, you know what I mean? Like, not.
No,
not
of course.
Really,
and he's
like,
not, and he is not going to be like that. I guess I'm also just honestly like, I've been talking about Joe Biden for years, and I don't like Obama's administration. So, like, none of this is, like, new to anybody in this call, in this show. But, like, I'm getting a little – I think the Democratic Party is one of the worst parties on earth. I have no – like, it's – and the fact that Bernie isn't nominated is a fucking tragedy, and it's not going to solve any fundamental problems, all of that. And, like – increasingly, I just can't indulge. It's like the next several years are going to be hard as hell in any circumstance. And I think a guy who is borderline senile, but like is going to say like, yeah, I don't think I want to gas nonviolent protesters so I can walk to a church.
Yeah, it's
like
it's,
if you just don't see that
in the military, in the streets,
like fighting the battle is gonna be better in that context. Like, yeah. I can't really indulge. Like, I get, like, I'm not saying like throw all your energy into the election or think about it. And God knows the Democrats are not gonna do like save or get us out of any of these fundamental contradictions. But like, in that binary choice, like, we already ran the play, and even some of the like side benefits that happened from Trump being president out of 2016 and the disruption and how the establishment looked foolish and all of that, that's already done. It's like, that's why Zizek in 2016 was like, should let Trump get it because of, you know, like a you know, antagonism. And now a week ago, he's just like, you know, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, Biden is preferable.
I think the last week, especially, I think after the last week, especially, you realize like, this
damn,
is,
I forgot
know,
about that 2016
scary.
Argument about, yeah, it's going to be better when Hillary loses because there's just going to be this left wing uprising that swells and everybody's going to just, it's like, nah, that's not how it works, fam. Yeah. That is not how it works. Oh, man. But
I think especially in this last week, no, I don't want to like belabor it too much, but I want it because in the same way, like I wish people didn't talk all this endless shit about Trump for 3.5 years and called him a Nazi and did all this because it's fucking it's mostly hyperbolic and ridiculous. Yeah. And then
it's
like
sucked
all
out
of
a lot of the energy
like, and it sucked out energy and it misdirected. And then but then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that critique is true. And guess what just happened? Like,
right.
You know, like you
got to beat the shit out of people.
You got to keep up with the current events. And if you give this guy a second term after the shit that he said and what has become publicly in play, forget about it. And not even because it's not because you're talking about closing off the avenues for that even more perfect protest movement. Like is that
right?
Like a dope organized labor, like, you know, normie, multiracial, but like, you know, like no, like there's no like snapping fingers and mic checks. And it's just like you know, I mean, are you? Oh, and all of a sudden, the Trump administration and the police are going to be like, "Well, it's all right," because I don't think there's any like woke language here, so we won't fucking deploy like military rule against the threat to the economic order. I mean, please be real.
All right, so Cornel West put out, I guess we're calling this an op-ed in The Guardian, titled "A Boot is Crushing the Neck of American Democracy." You know, my favorite thing about it is that he did a good job of tying together all of the forces that actually move the power structure of this country, you know, whether it be the capital greed of Wall Street, the military industrial complex, and just the constant need for empire out in Asia, out in the Middle East, and out in Africa, all over the place. The crazy police state, the militarization of the cops, the racism, like all of it, it ties in together and works as one. And I thought that was the coolest, that was the coolest part of the piece to me. It's just, folks got to understand, man, that like a lot of these police departments, their riot gear comes from a surplus of equipment and goods that we send to the military in our ridiculously bloated military budget every year. Like, that budget is bloated so much so that they can just give shit away for free to the cops, who are then like, oh man, we got all these new toys. We need to use this shit somehow. We need to find a reason to use it. Like, all of this flows into the next thing. And the reason why those budgets are so robust and ridiculous and beyond any type of, you know, reason or sense is that the companies that make this stuff are privately owned companies. They enrich a certain amount of people, right? And like all of that, like, it's all money. It all comes back to, you know, this greedy ass system that we have that incentivizes greed at every turn, down to the damn military. Like, people think like, no, we need that budget because our boys need the best stuff, blah, blah. It's nonsense. It's bloat. It's just going into the pockets of private citizens, man. You know, private military troops that go out like Halliburton and all these people when we start these fake ass wars overseas, so they can freaking do it, right? Like, and we pay them exorbitant amount of money to perform these tasks. Like, it's all related, right? And why we can't have healthcare, we can't upgrade our infrastructure, we can't get better education. All of this shit flows into one thing, and I just love that Dr. West did that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to sound like incredibly lame right now, but like, Cornel West really is like one of like the moral and intellectual giants of our time. Like, I remember 100%. A few years ago, before Trump, when the liberal intelligentsia tried to cancel him for turning on Obama, all his arguments against Obama have been 1,000% vindicated. No one remembers those liberal critics. He has outlasted them all by a sheer consistency and excellence and moral clarity. You know, he was able to weather that storm and basically be more like bigger than ever, you know, and more relevant than ever and more necessary and vital than ever. I mean, his intervention in CNN that went viral a few days ago, you know, it was like shocking to see that on CNN, but he is the only guy who can do that, right? He is the only guy who is so overwhelming that he can go onto CNN and hold Anderson Cooper's attention for 5 minutes to let him deliver this like 5 minute long rant. No one can do that. No one has that power. At least anyone that's worth a damn, you know? So, I encourage everyone to read him, everything he writes, to watch him, to listen to him on TMBS, to listen his interview on TMBS, to listen to his interview on Joe Rogan. It will really inspire you and fill you with love and strength and the will to go on in like a time where it really feels scary and hopeless. I mean, he provides a sort of light.
Yeah, I'll echo all of that. I mean, Cornel West is a great hero for me. I think what's kind of sick is you can see the way like he draws that connection between class structure in America racism in America, and then our policies overseas, which parallel, reflect, and then get migrated home. And he uses that to give us like a holistic understanding of how we need to tear this stuff apart. In the same day that Tom Cotton, who is literally, you know, part of that legacy, there's even a photo, I haven't confirmed it, but I think it's real, of Tom Cotton, you know, sitting in the middle of some like, you know, a bunch of like Saddam Hussein's money or something. So like, you know, we all remember that Donald Rumsfeld said looting was part of the transition to freedom after the United States went in and carpet bombed Iraq and, you know, this illegal war that killed so many civilians. So, you know, Cornel West, like, not only is he pointing the way forward intellectually and morally, but he's also like, you know, he's anticipating what you'll see this like funhouse sick mirror of with Cotton. But yeah, I mean, I think we're lucky that we have, you know, there are some of these beacons out there like Cornel West or Adolf Reed or, you know, like Lula, whatever. And we got to check in with these people. We also have to start figuring out how we can cultivate in our cohort some of that quality. Yeah.
Like, you know, the origins of fascism are basically when a regime takes the tactics that it employs in its empire and applies it to its own citizens. I mean, that's Franco in Spain was the general overseeing the troops in North Africa. And then he invaded Spain from North Africa. The Nazis, you know, like the German military using the tactics that they used in sub-Saharan Africa to oppress the peoples there, bringing it back to their own people at home. That's what Tom Cotton's basically advocating. He's like the classic, he is the classic example of the classic trajectory of a fascist, you know, like guy who learned the tactics over there and now brings them to the metropole. And yeah, so like watching that on the same day as that article come out in the New York Times, of all places, on the same day that Cornel West is doing that, I mean, it just, it really shows the stark choices we have. And it really is like you got to choose one or the other, you know, like you're either Tom Cotton or you're Cornel West. Like they're like this, all this bullshit nonsense in the middle is just, it'll just tie yourself into a knot. Like read, watch Cornel West and tell me that he doesn't have a moral consistency and clarity that is just nowhere near what anyone else has right now. Like the, just the, you know, like the average liberal person is just, has tied himself into a knot in a way that Cornel West has not. So,
well, man, before we go, I just want to leave you guys with my favorite passage of the article. And that is, quote, "The rule of big money, class and gender hierarchies, and global militarism must be highlighted in our profound concern with anti-black police murder and brutality." To me, that's that Tom Cotton person and New York Times op-ed, like, like what Nando just said. Like, literally, Tom Cotton is the embodiment of what that passage is about, period. Man, anything you guys want to highlight for the people to check out this week coming up? I want to give a shout out to Mike and Anna for having me on Jacobin Radio.
Oh, how is that? I got to watch that.
On Saturday.
That was great.
The response has been incredibly overwhelming. Wow,
yeah, Jacobin, man, that's some smarty shit, man.
Listen, I'm about to get an Oxford shirt, dry clean, seriously, man.
You're a PhD in like neo-colonial studies, man.
Feather so in my fitted cap from now on, Nando. But I want to thank everybody who checked that out. Everybody who's reached out to me, showed me a lot of love from that. The response was incredible. And the convo was just dope. And obviously one of the sharpest, most incredible people we have on the left. Clear eyed, clear vision in what the mission is and what we need to be doing out here. So shouts to her, shouts to Jacobin Radio and everybody over there. Make sure you check that out every single Saturday. It's co-hosted by Mike and Anna because, again, Mike is the Wolf Blitzer of the left.
Wolf Blitzer.
Make sure you guys check that out.
Some other fucked up shit happens.
Mike and Nando, just let us know what the people should be checking, though.
I got my little Entourage podcast if you want to have a good time for a little bit and take a break from all the horribleness. I'm going to have Emma Vigeland on this week.
Oh, nice. She's fine.
Friend of the show, Emma Vigeland. She's got some takes. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Should be fun.
Awesome. And of course, check out the Michael Brooks Show. Last week's episode, or just a couple days ago, we talked with Chuka Ajekum, Matt Chrisman, and Artesia Balthrop. We covered everything, including this theory, like basically the future of policing, and, you know, how it all fits together. It was good. It was deep. Check out everything TMBS Michael Brooks Show on YouTube or Patreon.com/TMBS.
All right, man. We'll see you guys next week. Later, y'all.